I already started, and I wanted to start because Kylie was sharing her thoughts on Michael Bublé, and it was highly interesting to me. So please continue, Kylie.
No, there was like a thing a while ago where he was in LA and he took a picture of a girl at a shop, like a store counter, and her pants had ridden up, like her shorts had ridden up really bad. And he was like, LA ladies, am I right? Or something like that. And like her butt was out, and
But
like,
his Christmas tunes, though.
but like, no consent, just a random woman
I'm
on
not
his
surprised, not
Instagram.
everything lasts. I broke
Listen,
so
I
many
really do
times, I
miss being
stopped
in the
keeping
same room
track.
so that I can shut that down before it starts. But instead, Riley gets to start singing Michael Bublé, and there's nothing that I can do. Was there ever really anything you could do about that? I guess not. Jesus.
I just
And
haven't
here it
met
goes
you
again.
yet.
So anyway, I'm just gonna just barrel through this podcast, and if Riley wants to sing Michael Bublé along the way, that's fine, but I will be ignoring it. I will be filtering it out of my conscience. And she
So I
will be editing
can,
it out
yes, yeah, so
later.
I can no longer hear. I do edit this podcast, therefore I do have the ultimate power. So, you know, just making that very
I
clear.
wish I had that power.
Too bad I'm a control freak. That's
Too bad. Really unfortunate for us that you're a control freak.
I have to burp. Oh no. Anyways, so basically, today was a hard day. I work in a shelter environment, an animal shelter, and things are hard sometimes. But I am trying to be happy of a podcast because I'm really excited about this story. So I hope y'all are ready.
She says, I come over and she goes, I'm really sad about my story tonight. And I was like, what? And she's like, I'm sad now, but I'm excited about my story tonight. And I just
Yes.
took me a second.
Oh, yes. But today I'm actually gonna be talking about. Well, do you have any more updates, Riley?
On what?
Life, Thanksgiving. How was it?
I think we already talked about Thanksgiving.
Well, you have finals week coming up, right?
Yeah, I had a lab final today for my statistics lab. I think it went okay. I have a composition that has to be performed tomorrow in class. We're in music theory class.
That's sympathetic terror.
It's in binary form. It starts in G major, it modulates to A minor, and modulates back to G major.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Oh, just wait till you hear it. I'll send it to you, Kylie.
No. I mean, like, it doesn't sound like it's. You have to perform it tomorrow?
Well, I can't perform it because I can't play piano, so I'm
So
paying
someone
a
else has to?
classmate to do it. But yeah, so it has to be performed.
Okay.
Well, lads, I don't know if you're ready, but I'm ready. Okay, so the story today is local. Local to our hometown. Does anybody have any guesses?
Is it Vail Mansion?
Frick! Why did you gotta guess it on the first one,
Wait,
though?
what mansion? Because I
Vail
know you
Man.
love Vail
I really do
Mansion.
love Vail Mansion, Kylie.
What's Vail Mansion?
Kylie doesn't know what Vail Mansion is! Kylie, have you ever
I've never been. I've
told.
never.
You know where we're going over Christmas break then?
Oh,
Oh my god, I'm excited. Kylie, I'm gonna take you to Vail Mansion, and Riley, I'm gonna take you.
how do you spell
It
it?
is gorgeous.
Like
VAILLE Mansion.
VAIL.
So it's in Independence, Missouri. It is wildly haunted. I have been
Ooh.
there so many times.
Another fun fact about true about Independence, Missouri.
No,
It's where Harry
no.
S. Truman's
No one cares
from.
about that except people
It's
that live here.
Truman's Town.
Isn't it beautiful, Kylie?
That is very
I'm,
pretty. It's not very big.
oh no, it's huge.
You know who cares? My grandma.
True. It's huge, Kylie. It's four stories.
Oh.
Look at that. So,
Very
like,
tall.
look. So, it's a huge mansion. It's
Okay.
gorgeous and it has a really, really dark history. It has a lot of Independence, Missouri does, which I really didn't realize before this. What's up, Riley?
I just realized we didn't intro the podcast.
Oh, hi. This is Spook the Pod. The Spot, Spot, Spot. This is Spook the
No.
Spot. Spook the podcast with Riley, Miranda, Kylie. Yo.
Riley, didn't you have
That's
music for
me.
this?
We play the music in the beginning, Kylie. Would you like to sing it?
Also, don't put this in. Please edit this out. But also, at some point, you need to stop and say, and now we're gonna take an ad break. and then we can keep going.
And now we're going to take an ad break.
No. In the middle.
We're taking an ad break 6 minutes in. This is Riley requested this.
In the middle.
I want everyone to who's listening that's frustrated about it to know that Riley requested this ad break right now.
In the middle.
Before we even start. So here we go.
In the middle.
Ad time. And welcome back from the ad that was so unfortunately placed. Anyway, it's all Riley's fault, so you can tweet that at her. Next, we get to bully Riley. For reference, me and Kylie record in the same room, and Riley records from 3 hours away at her college, so me and Kylie get to gang up on Riley and bully her.
We have the power.
Okay, Kylie, don't look at my notes, I swear to God.
I'm busy.
Okay, so, Vale Mansion, ladies. I am so excited about it. So I knew a lot of this history already because I actually have gone there a few times. I've been there, I think, 3 times in total. My mom took me when I was about 11. And I've always heard about it, but it's been very interesting to me since I was a wee lad. It's local. I visited for the first time when I was 11. The history is wildly fascinating. I'm just going to get right into it if that's all right with y'all.
Let's hear it.
All right. So, blah, blah, blah. The mansion was built by Colonel, or if you prefer, Colonel. Nope.
Colonel Mustard.
No.
In the hallway with the candlestick by Colonel Mustard.
Well, it was built by Colonel Harvey Merrick and Sophia Vale in 1881. It was the talk of the town for years while it was being built. The 1982 Kansas City Times said, quote, it is the most princely and most comfortable home in the entire West.
I think that's probably not true anymore.
Look, that was in 1882, Riley.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a change.
The good old 80s.
Okay, well, I'm just making a point that now, that's probably not the case.
You're probably right. back then it was odd in its placement, and today it's still odd in its placement. It stands 4 stories high in the middle of Independence, Missouri, among a series of completely normal Midwestern homes. Yeah, it's right in this big neighborhood. It's really weird. And it has like a parking lot, which seems out of place. But it once had a big apple orchard and a vineyard, but all those things have been taken down now. And it's just like the main lawn. Who knows? Well, you'll see after this, but it's just the main lawn and then the houses around it. So basically, it's very, very cool. So it has, the mansion is decadent inside and out with its 9 marble fireplaces, spectacular painted ceilings, flushing toilets, which was super rare for that time,
right.
31 rooms, and a 48,000 gallon wine cellar.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's back in that time.
That's a lot.
Wait, they measure wine cellars in gallons?
I mean, I guess. I don't know anything about wine, Riley. But Mr. Vale was born in Vermont in 1831. He graduated from law school and then settled down in Independence, Missouri in 1870. He had a passion for politics and was actually a key founder of the Republican Party in the Midwest. Vale built up his wealth through investments, and he owned partial shares in the Erie Canal and the Star Mail routes. He was a prominent figure in local politics and dreamed of a mansion with an out... He was a prominent figure in local politics and dreamed of building a mansion as an outward expression of wealth. So when you're actually touring... So when you're touring the mansion, the tour guides actually say that he built it for his wife, but that's just... That's not true.
That's what they say about all rich men who build mansions. They're like, they did it for their wife.
He's like, no. He actually just did it because he wanted to look rich. So the construction began in 1871 and was not finished until 10 years later, costing the equivalent of $4 million with today's inflation.
Oh my God.
Which, I'm really surprised it wasn't more.
Yeah?
I don't know a whole lot about real estate, but I thought that was really crazy. I figured there would be way more than that. Guess.
Did you already say it?
Yeah, but you guess.
10 million.
4 million.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
Well, probably because of the area.
Yeah, it could be because of the land, but I mean, like, it had, like, flushing toilets and all these crazy things.
It's all about location, baby.
Yeah, I guess. But the mansion quickly became the showplace of Jackson County and offered, quote, lavish hospitality to notables of the 1880s and 1890s, including many U.S. senators and congressional representatives. In the early 1880s, Harvey was involved in the Star Route scandal, where the United States postal officials received bribes in exchange for awarding postal delivery contracts in southern and western areas. So, mail fraud, essentially. Basically, Victorian people are not were not forgiving. If you did something like this, you were completely ostracized from the society. But of course, not the man. No. Even though he's the one that did the wrong thing, it was his wife. Sophia was completely separated from society. She was not allowed to attend anything. She was not allowed to talk to anybody. No one wanted to talk to her. And he actually went away to Washington, D.C. to go and testify in these trials. And while he was gone, his wife was diagnosed with stomach cancer, as well as deep depression. But the thing about depression at that time, as I'm sure you guys can guess, is like, it would be way better for you to go untreated than anything else, considering what mental illness treatment was back then.
Have you told me about this before? Because the more you're talking, the more it sounds familiar.
Not that I can remember. I talk about it a lot, but I found out way more things about it. So she was dealing with deep depression. So as a result of the scandals and a smexy painting, Harvey Vail had commissioned a painting of his wife, Nikki, that was put in their bedroom, and no one was supposed to know about it. But the painter blabbed, basically.
Blabbermouth.
I know. Isn't that sad, though?
That's not nice.
I know, because after that, I mean, like, there was no more hope of her being invited back to anything. That was it. Yeah. That was super, super scandalous and not allowed. And she actually paid extra money to have him paint clothes back on her, but they didn't care.
That's
because sad. Another man had seen her naked. I know.
That makes me so sad.
So, while he was away in Washington, D.C., she tried to keep the painting hidden, but the Women of Independence found out and would not let it go. Sophia was more or less ostracized from Victorian society and left to stay secluded inside of her home. The women at this time were vicious, and your social standing absolutely dictated everything about your life, and mental illness went completely untreated. Treatment at this time was almost certainly a death sentence, so things stayed private. Unable to handle the isolation any longer, Cecilia Sophia Graham Vail committed suicide by morphine on Valentine's Day, 1883, at 47 years old, while Harvey was in Washington, D.C.
That's sad.
That is sad. Is this gonna get fun?
Riley's like, I've had too much.
I mean, not really.
Okay.
Cool. It's interesting. But here's the thing. So then he faced two trials, came home, and was deemed not guilty. And he was, like, so excited to tell her, came home. She never lived to hear that.
No. So, was he gone for, like, a long time and her body was just, like, Jay chillin'?
Well, the maid had found her.
And the maid not, like...
Did she mail? Like, send a letter? Mail? Like, hey, dude.
Well, no, the maid was, like, waiting at the door when he got there. And she was like, yo, so, like, your wife, though. But he refused to believe it. She explained that she had found Sophia's dead body on the second floor master bedroom, which that bedroom still stands and is decorated in almost the exact same way that it once was. Colonel Harvey Vail remained in the mansion until his death in 1895. He became reclusive and eccentric during his last years of life, which leads to the famous story that you both have probably heard. This is probably the thing that if you've heard about the Vail Mansion, you've heard of this story. Back then, being buried alive was something that happened a lot. And it was not a very fun thing to think about.
Oh, no.
So, he refused to believe that Sophia was dead.
Right.
And he wanted to look at her face.
Oh, no.
So, he buried her in a glass-topped coffin.
Oh.
In the front yard.
Yeah, I maybe heard about this.
This is very close to our home.
Yeah.
Y'all know that, right?
I know now.
A little too close and to comfort.
And so the glass-topped coffin in the front yard, and he would just go out there and just, like, look at her face, and it was odd. But it was only there for a few days before the before the people were like, hey,
get your wife out the yard.
Yeah, they're like, maybe you could, like, move that off your lawn, though? So he was forced...
Or at least, like, to the back.
Just
to the back. So, long story short, he was forced to get rid of it. It led to neighborhood protests, lots and lots of things. There's lots of conflict over whether the story is real or not, but honestly, it doesn't seem wildly far-fetched to me. People back then were often buried alive, and it would make sense for someone to be distraught about the idea of their loved one trapped in a box. As well as, like, if you speak to the Victorian Society here, the people that know them the best, know the Vails the best, they said this was not uncharacteristic for Harvey.
Yeah.
Because he got weird after she died.
But
I'm not saying it wasn't creepy, because it certainly was.
No.
But Harvey then built a small addition to the side of the house with a 3-panel bay window, just barely big enough to fit a chair so that he could look out over the yard, because he never ever wanted to leave the house. He would just kind of look at the yard through these windows. So this part, for some reason, this is what gets me. So I went on a tour of the Vail Mansion with Sophie like a month or two ago.
Who is our ex-co-chair, not ex-co-chair, ex-co-host.
Yes, and I was looking for these things because now that I know about them, and I definitely absolutely saw them, I did get photos. It's disgusting. There are faces carved into the wood grain, but not like pretty faces. They're all like very distraught and ugly and angry looking.
Oh my God.
They're almost invisible. Like, you cannot really see them unless you look, but it's unmistakable. It's all throughout the wood and only that one room. He was lonely, and he held conversations with these faces. The neighbors would always see him talking to them, but the thing is, like, they're not happy. They're not smiling faces. They're not, like, cute little faces. They're, like, they look like demons.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I was on the tour, some...
Do the Vail Mansion people, like, mention that?
Listen, we're going to get to this, because that's the most buckwild part of this whole thing to me, is that the Vail Mansion, they refuse to acknowledge any hauntings.
Really?
They refuse. They do not offer ghost tours. Do you know how much money they would make if they would just give in just a tiny bit?
They would make a lot of money.
They refuse, because you know who owns the Vail Mansion?
Who? I don't know.
The... Independence Victorian Society, which is made up of old white women who are very religious.
Fair.
And they don't like this. They just want you to look at the Victorian aspect of the home. They don't want you to think about that. So on the tour, one of the people that I was with, or one of the people on the tour asked about the faces, and the tour guide was like, oh, you guys need to stop talking about that. The hauntings are not real. Those faces were only there. She said that the faces were only there because the wood carver was playing a joke on Harvey.
That's not a funny joke. Also, that could lose you a lot of money. Exactly. If your job is to be like,
that's my,
you know,
argument.
Like that would lose, like, if you're, you know, like if I'm a rich person and I spend a lot, $4 million building like a big fancy mansion, and some wood carver decides he's gonna carve spooky faces in, like, I would be pissed. That's not a, that
I'd be mad.
And in that wouldn't make sense. I mean, you did your job in Victorian times.
You don't have jokes. Jokes not allowed. Jokes left the room.
Jokes weren't invented yet.
The jokes had not, in fact, existed at this time.
Yeah, I'm like, that is just the most bullshit excuse ever. Like, that's not what happened. This was a very, very rich man he was working for. I'm sure the last thing he wanted to do was risk not getting paid.
Yeah, piss him off.
Exactly.
So, whatever. But yeah, the faces are not smiling or laughing. They're insane, and they're hidden all over the room. Yes, he actually died in that house, so that marks the second known death inside the walls.
You keep saying known.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot more.
That's scary.
We'll get to it. This part, you're not even going to believe, but there are records of this, because Kylie's a non-believer.
I'm not a non-believer. I believe in spooky stuff.
Okay.
I don't believe in, like, reality TV. Yeah.
So, when Harvey died...
I want that on my gravestone. I believe in spooky stuff. I just don't believe in reality TV.
I mean, like, I choose to believe in spooky stuff, but, like...
The Veil, the Kardashians.
I don't want to believe people are truly like that.
Keeping up with the ghosts of Veil Mansion.
That is something I would watch. Yes.
Well, basically, when he died... This part makes me, like, actually want to barf.
Oh, no.
So when he died, all the windows just broke and, like, shattered out onto the lawn.
Like, at once? Like, all at the same time?
Yes. Yes. On the second floor.
Ooh. I don't like that.
Like, what? Like, when he died, the moment he, like, took his last breath.
No. I don't like it. I didn't say I don't believe it. I said I don't like
it. No. I don't like it either. And it was the same bed.
Who is it documented by?
I mean, it's loosely documented by, like, the maids and the people that worked there. They were like, all we know is all the windows are shattered and it's laying all over the...
Could it have been like a...
I mean, it's possible that he broke them, but that would be weird because he died of old age.
He went around and was like, ha, yeah. I'm gonna break the
Wouldn't
windows.
Wouldn't that be weird, though?
Well, even if he did go around and break the windows, that's still incredibly odd.
Yeah. So, that's bizarre. That was 5 years after his wife. After his death, there was a court battle over the estate that lasted 5 years. Eventually, the house was sold and turned into an inn very briefly, and then a, quote, home for the insane.
Oh.
And I'm going to be using that term very loosely here, because obviously that's not what I would say. But all the sources that I'm looking at and everything are going to say, like, the mentally insane. You know, like, very insensitive. So, if I ever say that, make sure... I mean, remember that it's not coming from me.
It's coming from the history.
Well, in that time, that could mean anybody with a minor learning disability to anyone literally just, I mean, having period pain.
Yeah.
So
basically, mental health rehabilitation was almost non-existent at this time, and patients were often tortured, abused, or left to sit isolated from the world. The asylum in particular was famous for abuse and ended up being shut down for abuse and manipulation of patients.
What a cool thing to be famous for.
Well, like, so it already has the violent history of the Vales.
Right.
You know, death by suicide and then an early death.
An early death?
I mean, he was only like 55.
But they said he died of, well, but
I mean, that's kind of old age back then, but you know what I mean. It's two weird deaths and then a mental health rehabilitation center that was shut down for abuse charges.
Yeah, no, that's spooky.
Yeah. It's hard to say if anybody died on their property during this short time, but the amount of violence and distress that occurred on this property is not something to dismiss.
Yeah.
After the asylum closed, the house was used as a nursing/rest home where people died every single day.
Cute.
So this is just filled with spooks.
Oh, yes. And the lack of storage in the house... The lack of storage in the house became an issue after not too long, and they had to build another addition to store all the bodies.
Where were they? Ew. Where were they storing the bodies?
The basement.
Why not bury it?
Because you can't bury all the. Because like you have to return them back to their families and stuff.
Oh, so like they didn't offer like.
Needed like a morgue.
It was a morgue. They built a morgue, on property.
They just returned the bodies to the family. They were like, here. Oh my goodness.
That's what they do now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought that there were medical people to help with, like, transport now. I mean,
there would be medical people back then, too, but, I mean, because this isn't the 1800s anymore.
Oh, this you're is early so right, 19. You're so right.
But, again, this nursing home was shut down on abuse charges.
Oh, no.
Which brings forth a theory that I have. So I have a question for you guys. Was the repetitive abuse simply an unfortunate coincidence, or was it the structure itself manipulating people's brains? Because, like, it's hard to say because I don't want to pardon these terrible people because what they were doing is really, really bad. And it's not fair to say that, like, it wasn't their fault. They didn't know what they were doing. It was the house. But it is interesting to me.
Well, but I mean, like,
Maybe those people were, like, drawn to the house because it had that, like, bad energy.
That's interesting.
Also, maybe... I mean, like, I love looking to the paranormal aspect, but if you look at how a lot of, like, quote-unquote asylums were run back then, they weren't great.
But this is the nursing home was shut down for abuse charges.
Oh, like the nursing home itself?
So first the asylum was shut down for abuse charges, and then years later it was an inn, and then it was a nursing home that was also shut down for abuse charges.
Okay. Well, I know that still sometimes happens in certain nursing homes. Like, mm-hmm. It's really common that, like,
elder abuse
workers may potentially steal.
Well, like, I know, but do you think it's odd that it's, like, it's almost like the violent history of the house itself?
Oh, yeah. I think that could be definitely, like... If you're going to do sinister things and you know you're going to do it, that's a place to do it.
I guess. It's just very... I don't want to be dismissive of these people, but it's definitely a weird coincidence. Sure. All of this history is terrible and disgusting, and I don't mean to skim over that. But I do want to say that the house is gorgeous. It's truly a beautiful piece of architecture, and it's very valuable, especially here in Missouri, where many of those structures have been taken down.
Right.
I'm going to post photos on the Twitter later, but here's a brief description of the mansion. It is a symmetrical structure made of hand-pressed brick. So each brick was made by hand. It features an elaborate one-story porch, limestone moldings, multicolored shingles, copper toilets. The copper toilets are so lit. I want to go pee-pee in there.
No.
Incredible murals. Every single ceiling has a mural on it.
Ooh.
Dark wood staircase. Oh, the dark wood staircases are beautiful. It's the original to the house. It's gorgeous. A fireplace in every single room. Almost every single room, stained glass, amazing paintings, large decadent chandeliers, a vineyard, an apple orchard. I mean, you name it. Like, it had it.
It was fancy.
It was a very, and it's still a very, very cool house. The thing that I find disturbing about the house now is the denial of history, because I think the least you can do is acknowledge it.
Right, what happened?
But they don't. They really don't. But yeah, so, it seemed to be a real shame that when the nursing home closed and the city just left the place to rot. Finally, in the 1960s, a wealthy couple purchased the home and restored it to near full glory. In 1983, they gifted the home to the city, and now they offer tours. Ghost tours, you ask? No! Why?
Because they don't want people thinking that there's ghosties there.
Isn't, Independence as relatively high, like spooky stuff happening. Yeah. So what it like a part of like when you have areas that are typically known for like having spooky things there, you tend to get a lot of like how do I word, like you get a lot of people who are really interested spook in spooky stuff, and sometimes, you know, that's people like us who aren't a problem, and sometimes it's people who are like could be a problem, and that happens with any type
of
tourism.
But think about how much
like,
money,
like in Salem.
Sure, yeah, but I mean, think about like, how much money they would make for the town if they would just give it even just a tiny little bit.
What also is headed in Independence? What's also a huge thing in Independence, Mo?
Truman?
No.
I don't know.
Isn't Drugs. It Independence? No, like that big church
oh,
with
no.
the spire.
That's is it Independence?
Oh yeah, the Mormons. No, that's in Independence.
Yeah, so I'm assuming it's probably a very, very religious, like, it's the Church of Latter-day Saints, a very religious community. They're not going to want spooky stuff there, because that, like, Independence is, like, supposed to be the Garden of Eden in Mormonism, which is...
Bug
viewers,
wild.
Look up Independence Mountain and tell
but
me.
But then again, like, who's to say? Because people probably that live in Jerusalem are probably like, why is this the Holy Land?
Well, but no, like, because the history was there. Like, that's where, like, America, there was not...
I don't want to discredit anybody's
people
religion.
People in there.
But
no!
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah, not to discredit Mormonism, but, like, it was an interesting choice to pick for the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, like, it's got a lot of religious, like, history and background specific to, like, the Church of Latter-day Saints, too. They probably don't want, like, this spooky stuff being associated with that. Because it's, like, their golden land, their safe land, so...
Well, I have an interesting theory that I'm actually going to go over next, and you guys are going to, your minds are going to be blown.
I'm excited.
Are you ready? Yes. This is a personal theory. And so when we go on a tour, because we are going to go on a tour, and I'm going to force you guys, you are going to notice, I will guarantee you right this minute, our tour guide will be a white woman with curly white hair, older, and she will have a cross around her neck. Every single tour guide I've ever had does have those things. No problem with that. But here's the thing. They refuse to speak about the hauntings. And this is here's what I think. So there's if you look up just like Vail Mansion hauntings, there's going to be a lot of stories of people that have worked there in the past talking about their personal experiences and why they don't work there anymore because they've had experiences, you know. But the people that are doing the tour guides, they'll tell you that they've never had an experience before. And I think it's because they are white. And in Victorian society, that's what was... preferred. They are older white Christian women, so the ghosts that are the Victorian ghosts don't mess with them because they're like, oh well, I like you being here. But if you have a person of color who comes in to do maintenance work, they will mess with you and they will make you leave. Thoughts?
I have a quick cue.
What?
So the Vail Mansion people, like, what are they like wanting it to be? Like, do they want it to be like just like a place where it's like, ooh, let's marvel at this architecture.
Yes. Yeah, they want it to be like an architectural thing.
I think it more has to do with like the rigid hostility that the people who are running it would have to any type of ghost. Like, I don't even think that nothing would have happened. I think that they flat out would ignore it even if it did. Like, I don't think they would believe it at all. They would just, like, you know, anything that happened. Well, this is an old house. Of course that kind of stuff happens. Like, it pops, it settles, it creaks, things break. Like,
well, the biggest...
I don't think they would even allow themselves for a second to believe that there were ghosts in there.
Like, of course,
because
it's creaking.
There's lots of reportings. Like, even, like, the people that are there just for, like, maintenance for a second, the biggest thing that they see is the impression of a woman's body on the bed, which I actually did see that when I was there, and I just chose to not look at it. And I took a photo of it, and then I deleted the photo because I was scared I would see orbs.
But I mean, like, of all the people that have, you know, experienced...
Or that you would haunt your phone.
A haunting there, like, it was probably a variety of people, not just, like, workers of color. So I wouldn't assume that, necessarily that they're only attacking, like, or coming out to those kind of people. I think they'd probably just... Anybody who's not high society, maybe.
High society!
Because if you think about
society.
It, like, these tour guides, they're the ones in charge of the house, so whatever happens to the house is...
But they're not in charge of the house. They're volunteers.
Yeah, but, like, whatever organization is... They have to be paid to do...
They're
or
not.
They're volunteering?
Yeah, they're volunteers.
So, like, how are they allowed to tour it, though?
What do you mean? Because they're older women who work in the Victorian Society, they...
they do right, it.
And the Victorian Society owns the house,
Jackson
though.
County. No, Jackson County owns the house. The Victorian Society just, like, takes care of it voluntarily.
Okay, so they're taking care of it?
I mean, not the tour guides themselves, but, like...
But that society, like, the Victorian yeah. Society is. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading
isn't
too much.
Isn't that weird?
It. But if the society is taking care of it, why would you piss off the people who are taking care of your angry residence place?
Like, even if you just said, like, yeah, I think it's a little spooky, but they are, like, very, very angry when you mention it.
Because the... If they're part of the Victorian society, that ghosts were also scandalous. Not I for guess, everyone, but during, like, Victorian time.
I don't know. It's interesting, but...
That's just what I was thinking. But the main ghost said to haunt the property is Sophia Vale, possibly trapped there by her suicide or unwilling to leave the house that her husband built for her. There is almost always an imprint on the bed in the shape of a woman's body, even though no one is permitted to touch the furniture. She is also nightly seen peeling back the curtains of the windows to see who's around. The people who live around the Vale Mansion, like the houses around there, say that they do not look at the house past 8 o'clock because they will see her.
I want to go now. This is
we are going
to
go.
I don't like it. Want to go at 8 o'clock
and so,
look and see if I can see her.
And when you're driving up there, I was looking for these things last time. People walk across the street to not walk in front of the house. Like, people are definitely conscious of it. And then Mr. Vale is sometimes seen as a glowing apparition walking around the garden, or most commonly seen peering out of the room that he had built. The basement of the house is closed to the public due to an overall creepy vibe that throws off the purpose of the tour, which is to show off the Victorian house. It's not because the basement is structurally unstable or anything, it's literally just because it's creepy and they don't want to give off that vibe.
In the basement where they were building, like, isn't that their morgue?
Oh yeah, it was.
I just don't like that they said, this place has had a spooky-ooky history. You know what it needs? A morgue. Like, find another way to put these old, old bodies away, you know?
Well, basically, here we go. The maintenance workers that go in refuse to enter the basement due to the feeling that it gives them. Well, there's a good reason it gives you weird feelings. The basement is where asylum patients were kept in metal cages.
Oh my God.
And where bodies were stored before the morgue was built. And there was also, so...
Like, one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yes. And I forgot to mention, I should have mentioned this. While it was an asylum, it was also, like, an extra holding facility for the jail that was nearby. So,
right,
like...
Because that's a great idea.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you couldn't fit in the jail, then they just would plop you in there until they could have a cell for you.
That's stupid.
So they would keep you in metal cages.
Threatening all the patients you have at that hospital.
So they would... Well, they didn't care about them.
I know, but...
But I was curious about the basement and all of its secrets, so I did some deep diving. The first and seemingly only time... Okay, this is the only time they have and will ever let ghost hunters into the mansion. It's this stupid group of... Okay, not stupid. I'm sure they're great, but they acted a little stupid on the episode. It's called Haunted Towns. It's like five like super hick guys... And they go investigate ghosts, and they, like, pray beforehand. They're like, Jesus, please protect me from the spirits.
They're like, Jesus, 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 I love Jesus. To praise
your name. But basically, when I went to tour, it was right after they had been there, and the lady was like, we will never let ghost hunters in here ever again. Because they didn't like that everyone coming in was mentioning it.
Well, but I mean, like...
It's bringing traffic to your thing.
I want to interview them, but I want to do it in a way that, like, I
want
to... It
was America style.
No. I want to be inconspicuous about
what?
It.
It was America. Have you ever seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. No, sorry. I didn't really realize that was what it's called. I was literally just talking about that with one of my teachers.
Yeah, but we're going to dress up.
I think it would be funny to go in and be like, so, like, this is an old house. I'm sure it creaks a lot. Like, is it ever really loud and disruptive in here? Like, or do things break really easily? Like, is it hard to do late nights here? Do things just, you know, like...
They get so mad. But you can try when we go.
Not even, like, no, I wouldn't make it sound, like, ghosty. Just, like, due to technicality of the house. Oh. Like, does it being this old make it hard to work in it? Like, are there ever just... You know, do things break really commonly?
They'd be like, oh, you young whippersnapper, let me tell you about my life.
I don't think they would call me a young whippersnapper, but I would be interested in hearing what they have. I'd want to see if they'd slip up or if what they said sounded scripted.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, so they only like ghost hunters in there one time, and it's, you know, as far as they say right now, it's the only time they will ever. And the people on the Travel Channel, it's on the Travel Channel. We can watch it later if you want, Kylie. Mm-hmm. But basically, they were granted access for God knows why. And they said that in late spring, the hauntings get more intense and they wanted to find out why. I have never heard this anywhere else. I don't know what the truth of this is, but it's how that goes. So they said that in the late spring. So their team, which by the way consists of five white country dudes who pray before every ghost expedition, they focused more on the asylum aspect of the mansion, which I thought was very interesting because every other source I've ever found is all about the veils. So I really liked this different take. They reported that at least three known deaths from lobotomies on top of Harvey and Sophia in the nursing home. Lobotomies, kids.
Yeah.
So, a small room. So, the third and fourth floor of the mansion are closed to tours. And so they went up there, and there's a very, very small room on the third floor, which is closed to tour groups, was once home to a male mental patient who was kept in a straitjacket for his entire stay. The man was constantly observed through a small space at the top of the room and only saw the outside world through the window, which is still intact from the veil's time. So it's an inside window that's at the very, very top of the room where you can't really reach it. And it's an internal window. So, like, it doesn't go to the outside. It goes to the next room.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it's an observation window. So the doctors would just watch this man in the straitjacket and see what he would do.
Like, how did he use the restroom?
I'm sure they weren't really concerned about that. I mean, and he really only saw the outside world through that one little window. During the investigation, a disembodied voice, who we're assuming is the patient, said, quote, "I'm not going to leave, and I need help."
That's sad.
I don't like it.
But yeah, they would keep overflow criminals in the basement of the mansion, as well as the more insane / dangerous patients, often in cages or shackled to walls. A guest, Independence paranormal investigator, claimed to have seen an aggressive male spirit who is very physical and violent. As he explained this about how the spirit was very aggressive and violent, they picked up an EVP. Do you know what an EVP is, Riley?
Mm. Yes, it's like the ghost waves.
Yes. So they picked up an EVP saying the word anger. The guest said he had previously seen this man, like seen the apparition of him with arms wide, rocking back and forth, looking as if he was going to attack him. They continue to talk about the cruelty of the cages, and again, the EVP speaks up, this time saying, "Afraid."
Oh.
They continue to hear something seemingly trying to be escaping them. Like, every room that they go in, it moves to the other room, and they just can't seem to find it. So it just causes them to run all over the basement, and they can't ever find anything, never really get in contact with it. And I'll get to this at the end, but it's almost like there's so many spirits within the space that it's impossible to really get contact that makes sense.
Fair.
You know what I want to know would be interesting that I, like, think... So, there's, you know, a lot of debate when it comes to believing in ghosts over what traps them on Earth, and some people like unfinished business or something tragic or something like that, and then other people argue that it's specific places. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, like, what gives specific places, like, the ability to keep spirits there? Like, what starts that?
It's the ghost juice.
It's the secret sauce.
Sure, but, like, I mean, obviously the ghost juice. But, I mean, think about, like, all these big, notorious, like, creepy places. Is it because there was a murder? Is it because, or a suicide? Was it because, like, what?
I think it's just the violence. And, like, all the people that were there were, I mean, like, if you're a mental patient and you are not being treated properly and you are being chained, you do become violent eventually.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, the same thing happens with
dogs.
Like, any animal. Exactly. If you're treated violently, yeah.
I mean, so it's like, think about all the violence and the anger. And I think that kind of stuff keeps people here because it's unfinished. And especially because these spirits do not get contact. They do not get people that are wanting to contact them. So I think that they are restless.
For sure. I just want to, like, it. Yeah. I want to know. I almost wonder sometimes, like, does it come with that first incident that happens there, or is it even in the building of the house?
Like, or, like, the land?
Is it in the place before just the land? Yeah.
Maybe there was a some sort of, like, bloody battle when people took land from the natives.
I never know. I just think it's...
Riley says it's in a Native American burial ground.
No.
All white people say.
That is true. That is very...
When something's scary.
But I just... Yeah, I'm curious as to what starts, or even when, like, the planet was formed, maybe there are bad spots.
And I just said, these men are idiots. They're idiots. They decided the best way to gain contact with the spirits was to recreate a staged lobotomy.
Oh, no.
So they're in the basement. They're acting it out. And it did.
Who are they lobotomizing?
Their friend.
Bro, you want to come in and do a lobotomy for the show?
He said,
like, yeah, bro.
And, like, they were explaining a lobotomy, and they did, like, a reenactment. It made my eye hurt.
It's like, I don't need my frontal lobe.
And it worked, and that's the thing that is sad. And the men, they are not concerned with being peaceful or respectful with the spirit, which is really unfortunate. But I guess this is the only time that we're going to see the Veil Mansion ghost hunt. Then I guess go all out. Sure. But yeah, I wish that they were more respectful and peaceful with the ghosts, because they definitely were very aggressive trying to get them to come out. And I don't think that's ever the way that you should try to address spirits. So they never got... So it's like they have a spirit meter thing that picks up radio waves or energy in the air. And they've gone on several... Kylie is Googling lobotomies right now.
I just...
Do you know what it is?
I knew what a lobotomy... No. I know what a lobotomy
Kylie
is.
Kylie wants to get a lobotomy.
Kylie, as a psych major, I ask that you just don't.
No, but I, like, we've been talking about it in my psych class, too, about, like, prefrontal damage, and I was looking at some of the advertisements for it, and it's, like, painted pictures of a woman before and after lobotomy, and her face changes, and it's because they painted... Like, it doesn't actually change, but it's, like, so... I don't know. I think if there's anything keeping us connected to a paranormal or different universe, it's our brain. Like, I think that, like, we don't fully understand the brain.
I think that it's my spleen.
Well, okay. But I think it's the brain, and I think that poking around in there and mixing stuff up is just, like...
I don't know what the spleen does.
It's just interesting to me, and I want to see how they would... I'm trying to figure out how they would even recreate
they
that.
They go right... Well, they were just, like, joking. They were, like, had, like, a stick right here, and they were just, like, clang, clang. They were, like, making the noises, basically.
Clang, clang.
But they've done it. They've had, like, two seasons of this show, and they've never had over a 1.6 on their spirit meter. And it jumped to a 16 while the mock procedure was going on. They asked, were you a prisoner here? And it jumped to a 20. That would require, like, hundreds of people. Hundreds of spirits. It says they continued to act, and the man playing the patient jumped up, complaining of a pain and coldness in his eye, even though they had not actually touched him. So it was like he was having phantom pains of the eye. Kylie, stop looking at lobotomy pics.
It's not.
Send lobotomy pics.
It's just like propaganda for it, and they're all the same.
I don't
same.
Like that.
Just woke up. You up? Send lobotomy pics.
That's what I was
Here's another one. It's the same one, but they changed it even
Why
more.
Why is
and this
she
one,
bald?
They gave her a shaved head.
That's just Sophie. Well, because they shave your head first.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the original, like, here, version of that photo that I saw. Not this one. This is another one.
I don't want to see lobotomy.
It's Kylie, not. It's not a lobotomy.
Kylie, Kylie's sending me unsolicited lobotomy pics.
It's this one. Look, it's the same woman, but, like, completely different.
I mean, it's because they be like, let me get a crack at that brain. Let me get a crack at those lobes, girl. Let me get a crack at those lobes.
Me.
So... But the point is, it's weird. But did you hear what I said about he jumped up complaining of pain and coldness? Like, it was like phantom pains. It was weird. He said, can anyone help me? The man, playing the patient. And a voice replied, I'm not with them. And while at the same time, the EVP said, devil method. So they had two different spirit meters, two different EVP devices, and they were saying two totally different things at the same time. It was like competing. It's like... To me, what it seemed like when I was watching you, it was so chaotic, and you could tell that the editors were trying really hard to piece everything together in a way that made sense, but there are so many spirits from so many different timelines, and they know this is their only chance. They're trying to get everything out that it just sounds like word vomit from, like, so many different places in the home. And then whatever was speaking seemed to not be a patient, but a prisoner. And what's notable about the episode is the sheer amount of different entities in this one space. Mm-hmm. This is their one chance to state their case, and none of them can seem to get anything out, which is really unfortunate. Then we flash to upstairs, where they had a motion-activated spirit ball. Using this tool, they were able to have a more focused and consistent connection with the male mental patient. Again, they decided it'd be a great idea to recreate the environment he was in by wearing a straitjacket and sitting alone in the room.
Oh my god. Dumb, dumb idiots.
So insensitive.
I was a spirit who had suffered through that, and somebody decided they were just gonna, you know,
for
recreate it for goofs. I would try with all my might to terrorize them.
I'd be like, I'm staying in here.
Riley, staying in what?
Like, in hiding.
It's fine. You want to piss me off? But yeah. I'd lock them in that straitjacket somehow. I'd, like, make it impossible for them to get out.
But, like, this guy's got balls, though. Like, they just totally leave him alone in the room.
And he has a straitjacket on.
Props.
And it's actually really... This is the part that, like, really scared me, because you can see it a little bit. So...
I want to watch it now.
Basically...
Where did you watch it?
I have it recorded.
Okay.
The investigator sat up for alone, staring at the wall, asking, "Are you the patient that was in this room? Are you the one I feel watching me?" And as he's talking, you see, like, a faded something walking back and forth across that window. You know that window that... We were talking about the observation window.
Yeah.
It's like someone pacing back and forth. You cannot see, like, the full apparition, but you definitely see, like, a shadow doing that.
Oh.
And then, and the guy is just, he's just like this, just staring eyes back. Like, he looks, oh, I'm getting chills.
I don't
he
like it.
He can, like, not take his eyes off of it. It's like, you can tell that he sees it clear as day. His eyes just flip back and forth and back and forth. And then the rest of the team came to get him from a solo session. He was really disoriented and spacey and, like, didn't really know. He just kept saying, like, there's a man up there, there's a man up there. And they went and checked, like, no one's there. But he, it was like he put himself in that position, and he could really feel
what do you,
like that
pacing. What if, yeah, no, I think, I don't think the thing pacing up there was the spirit. I think the spirit put is like memory of what
so
the
too.
Doctor did when he was in there. I think that's how he perceived it.
Ugh, goosebumps.
Yeah, no, I've got him.
So I've been listening to a lot of, and that's how we drink. That's my favorite. One of my favorites.
Good podcast.
And they started this thing where they, because they have a visual aspect to it now, like they videotape it now, the podcast. And whenever they get goosebumps, they say goose cam, and then they just like zoom in on their goosebumps. So now in my regular life, whenever I get goosebumps, I'm like, ooh, goose cam.
That's cute.
And I get goose cam right now. And that's kind of like, I mean, that's really all that we have as of right now. In conclusion, the mansion has seen a lot of really dark things and serves as a reminder to independents of the cruelties of the past. The Victorian Society refuses to acknowledge the hauntings, which will never cease to amaze me. They refuse ghost tours and will consistently deny any stories. If they would just give in a tiny bit, they would make so much money for the city and the restoration of the building, but they refuse, which is confusing and makes you wonder what they could possibly be so afraid of.
I mean, they probably see it as blood money, though. Because also another thing, like, when it comes to investigating paranormal, one thing that does come in is you never want to be insensitive about the cruelties those people suffer. And I don't think where we're coming from is insensitive, but I bet you that's part of, like...
No.
I bet you that's part of their
reasoning. I don't think so at all, because they had the ghost people come in and act like fools.
Sure, but then, like, their argument is, see how bad that went, see how that was, like, that... I'm not saying they truly believe it, I'm saying that they'd at least have it on, you know, like,
but,
on,
like,
file to argue with.
When you ask the ladies, they will not even tell... They don't even, like, in the tour, they never say that it was an asylum, they never say that it was a jail, they never say any of that, they only talk about the veils. It's like they don't want you to remember it. And
they've romanticized
it. It's like you need to... They talk about how, like, he built this beautiful mansion for his wife. They don't even talk about her killing herself.
Yeah, they've romanticized
it. And, like, they don't want to acknowledge it, which, like, to me is worse. Like, of course, profiting off of that kind of stuff is bad, too, but at least people know about it, and at least people are made aware. Where, like, at this point, people don't know, and to me, that's a bigger disservice.
Yeah. No, if I was a ghost and I had, if I was in, Sophia Vale, is that her name?
Yep.
If I was in her position, I would be pretty angry if people were walking around my house commenting just on how lovely it is. Or maybe I would be happy because, like,
yeah,
it'd be societally acceptable, yeah, but
I would like to go to the Veal Mansion with you guys. And so, like, when I took Sophie there, and I didn't tell her any of this stuff because, as you guys all know, Sophie
freak
gets
out,
very, very scared of stuff very easy. And I knew that she wouldn't go in if she knew. So I didn't tell her any of it, and we were in the parking lot, and she kept saying, like, I don't want to go in. I don't want to get in. I don't like the feeling it gives me.
I think that you are, I don't think that you're a portal, Kylie, but I think that you sense things, but not always. Because sometimes I see you be like this, that's so Raven. I'm like, what
never
is she
me do that
doing? What is she doing?
You've just never seen me
oh,
do that.
Oh, but I have.
That's just not a thing. I get the chills sometimes. Like, I get, like,
goose cam.
Not the chills, but, like, it's weird to explain on Twitch when it happens. It's like a,
ew,
like a really cool feeling.
Don't touch me!
It doesn't hurt, but it's
me,
like, it goes into my bones.
I have a ghosty in this room, and you
I
just scared
don't.
Me.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's true.
I do, because Emily Baker told me, and I believe her.
I'm not just saying. Well, Emily Baker said it was one specific
no,
photograph.
It's my light.
That light.
That one.
Which one?
That one.
She said it's a happy spirit, though, so.
I can kind of.
Let's name. Don't say vibe. Anything to me, Kylie.
I didn't say I sensed anything. I could see.
I want to name it.
Jeremiah.
No. I name it Philip after one of the don't names of our shared boyfriend in kindergarten.
No. I don't think spirits like getting names that aren't their names.
Yeah, Riley.
You're being mean to me.
Yeah. I'm being mean to you, Riley.
But Riley, imagine if you were a spirit and someone was like,
I name it John.
I'm going to name it Donald. It's Donald the spirit. And you're like, that's just not my name. Like, well,
you're like, Riley. It's right. R-E-I.
I would like it Donald. If they gave me a name better than the one I have.
What would you like your name to be? Danger. Cement.
Jolene.
Jolene. You know you don't. No, you don't. Because everyone that met you would be like, Jolene. 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 Judy. And you'd be like, I would rather die than hear that ever again.
What about Sharon?
Sharon!
Sounds too much like Karen. You'd be made into a meme.
Delilah. Hey there, Delilah.
Posh Spice.
What about Sinbad?
What about Anita Bath?
I kind of like that. Anita Bath. I think that's cute.
I need a bath. Oh! maybe, I was going to say, like, we don't really know anything about the ghost right now, but maybe as we get a new generation of Victorian society people, maybe we'll get more stories. That's what I can at least hope.
Wait, so you said it was owned by Jackson County? Or Johnson County? Which county did you say it was owned
by? I don't know what county, but you know what I mean.
Okay, so are they the ones who, like, who do security for the house at night? Because I'm sure.
There literally is no security.
There's no security at night.
Like, literally no.
No one's tried to break in.
I'm sure they have, but I mean, like, I'm telling you, when you go there, like, you will be amazed. Like, literally, there's nothing. I mean, there's locks on the doors, but that's it.
That's so strange to me that nobody would. Well, it's never mind. It's Independence Month. That kind of makes sense. I want to interview. If I can't interview the ladies who do it, I want to interview the county that people from there.
Well, the town historian is like super willing to do stuff, so we should ask her maybe.
Yeah.
But I just said, like, you know, maybe as we get a new generation of Victorian Society members, we will get more info. But for now, that is the story of the Vail Mansion.
Beautiful.
Yeehaw. Did you like it?
I like it.
What was your favorite part? Glass-topped coffin.
Okay, no, I was thinking of something else. I thought about the guy who made, like, his coffin of his wife his coffee table.
Ew.
It was also glass.
I've never heard about that.
Or I don't know if it was wife, or it might have been a stall. It was probably on And That's Why We Drink. I am almost certain it was. And it was probably not his wife. It was probably
a victim,
yeah. But it the parallel just made me think of it.
That is our episode for this week. Next week will be a Riley story, and then a Kylie story, and then a Miranda story. So, and next week will probably be a little bit rocky just because it is finals week, so we'll try to go out what we can. But if we can't get on an episode, we will make it up by doing two in 1 week. Follow us on Twitter at SpookedSpodcast. You can email us at SpookedSpodcast@gmail.com. Follow Miranda on Instagram at Merpeachy, Riley at Riley.Atkins, Kylie at Shoosty. All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
I mean, if they really love me, they would send me unsolicited lobotomy pics. But till next week.